good stuff.
6:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us, because it's Thursday at 6:38, we have Wes Moreno. He is the county administrator for Escambia County. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you here. Walk this way. first thing I want to ask you about is Chief Catrabone leaving, which came, I think, as a big surprise to me and at least to some other people. What's the reason for him leaving?
I'm not sure what all his reasons are. He's been here for 2 years. He's done a good job while he's been here. I don't know if he has bigger aspirations or just wants to pursue other opportunities in some other areas, but I appreciate him. I appreciate his time here and the things that he has accomplished while he's been here. And Eric and I know we're talking, and we're strategizing a little bit on how we're going to move forward. But again, I wish him the best, and I hope he finds whatever it is he's looking for, and then we'll do the same here where we are.
I would assume that Chief Williams would be interim, but I guess that's still a decision to be made. And are we going to go through a search process again, or are we going to try to find somebody internal? What do you think is going to happen at this point? Because it seems, Rusty Nail before him, and then, now Chief Catrabone. We have them for a couple of years, and then they go. And I never know whether that's because they're from elsewhere and they're not a part of our culture or other reasons or whatever. But, I'd like to see somebody stick for longer. You know what I mean?
Trust me, I know what you mean. I don't know how we're going to move forward just yet. I don't know if we're going to do a search, or we may try to find somebody as an interim from within and let them fly for a little bit and see how that goes. So we have some options in front of us, and we'll move forward. And, we got a little time. Jason's going to stay with us a little bit and give us some time to transition, and which I do appreciate. And so we'll just see how we move it. But we are having those talks.
I can tell you a story about somebody else who rather reluctantly became the interim head of something or other, and then that seemed to work out okay, and that seems to be more of a long-term proposition. Now, you know who I'm talking about?
Who's that?
Yeah, maybe so.
some guy who I'm talking to right now. Different question, but kind of in this vicinity. My understanding about the way fire is funded, you correct me if I got any of this wrong, about 18 million, a little more than 18 million, comes from the MSBU, the Municipal Services Benefit Unit, the 125 per residential, and then there's kind of a formula for business structures. But the actual cost of ECFR is more in the $24, $25 million range, and so we're pulling $6.5 million out of general revenue. I know that the commissioners, several of them have, pledged adamantly, standing on the desk, so to speak, that they would never increase taxes, but look, prices are going up. Ad valorem goes up every year, even though the millage stays the same. It seems crazy to me that the MSBU doesn't fluctuate up somewhat in order to accommodate the rising costs and the rising number of people that have to be. I mean, is this a conversation that we're ready to have yet?
I can tell you it's not one that I've had with any of the board members this fiscal year, this budget process. Okay. I don't believe it is. I will say, we've accomplished a lot here in the last 2 years with fire, especially. We started off by raising income and firefighter pay.
Oh, yeah.
And then we started, we gave the lieutenants, all the leadership 4%, and on top of some of the other raises that we've already given. So I think the board's been extremely supportive of all of our initiatives there in fire. I think they'll continue to be supportive. This budget process will also enhance fire even more. We're adding 21 new firefighters. And so we're being creative in how we do that. So as with any budget, if you're spending over here, you have to reduce over there.
Right.
And so that's kind of our approach at the moment. And so that's what we're doing. Budget is balanced, and I'm looking forward to presenting that budget.
I guess in my mind, I just think, if we're going to have this tax is going to be the basis of funding that department, it ought to fund that department. And, we ought to have an adult conversation about, well, what does that really need to be in order to fund that department? That's where I'm at. I mean, I understand they're getting funded, and we're hiring new people, and we're expanding pay, and we've bought a bunch of equipment, all of which is good. That's kind of why I wanted to ask you that question. Something else I wanted to ask you about, obviously the county has been really focused over the last week or two on these deaths that happened, not here, but we have had some incidents happen here with water. What What are you guys doing? What are you thinking? Is there anything you're thinking about doing differently when it comes to protecting, particularly our visitors, lifeguards, beach flag system, communicating the dangers? What's the county response to what happened in Panama City Beach?
Well, I think our messaging is first and foremost in education. You know, we have our young men and women out there on the beach, and they do a fantastic job in water safety. Dave Greenwood couldn't be any better than him. And,
agreed.
You know, they're always, I've been up there, you know, I get there, you know, wherever we go, we get there at 8:30 in the morning, we're in the sand, and you watch those guys set up, those men and women, and they comb the beach, and they interact with the tourists and the beachgoers, and they say, hey, don't swim here, swim there. And, you know, I've seen it all, really. You sit up there and just observe. I saw one lifeguard. He pulled two ladies out of the water. We didn't pull them out. He told them to get out of the water because it was double flags. He turned around and back in the water they go. And this went on for like three times. And I'm like, you know, when I grew up and when I took my kids to the beach, if we were on the Gulf side, most of the time they had life jacket on. I mean, it just was what it was.
Yeah.
And
when our kids were younger.
Even yellow flag. Yeah, even a yellow flag, we'd go to the sound side. I mean, it's not worth it. I mean, and quite honestly, I have probably more relaxed today on the sound side than I can the Gulf side sometimes.
Yeah.
But you got to be aware if you're surrounded. You got to know your limitations. Swim where the lifeguards are. I say if it's a yellow flag, be cautious. I mean, you're not, you know, in shape. If you're not a good swimmer, if you're kind of iffy, go spend some time on the sound side. We got plenty of sound side beach over there, and it's just makes for just as good a day.
Same temperature water, you know.
Listen, yeah, same temperature water. Well, you know, it's a sandy bottom. It's a, you put your float out there, you float around. Kids can play. You don't have to worry as much
right.
on the sound side with the young kids. And I get it. People come on vacation, so they're here and they want to do it all. But it's. You know, it's not worth it. It's not worth taking the risk if that water's rough.
And I always swim
with a lifeguard.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And I'll say this, you know, Bay County Sheriff Tommy Ford had put out a statement on Facebook in which the short version of it is he said, it is unfathomable to me that you have these people who will curse out guards and cops who try to save their lives by preventing them from getting in danger and then praise them for heroes when they risk their lives to pull them out of the water to try to save them. And he's right. I mean, he's absolutely mm-hmm. right about that. Wes Moreno, hang on for just a second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
Not showing any issues. It looks like speaking of which, on the beach, 98 looking clear, not showing any problems on Via de Luna. Certainly use caution, as you know, wherever you are. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Just one more kind of follow-up on that. I know, you know, Commissioner Bragash had talked quite a bit about trying to put lifeguards out on Perdido Key. You know, expanding lifeguards is always a very appealing thing. My concern about that is, well, where are you going to find those lifeguards? Funding we can probably find, but where are you going to find the people to do it and to make it done safely? Has there been any motion in that direction since the last time you and I have talked about this?
Not other than just talking about it from a budgetary standpoint and equipment standpoint.
Okay. All right. I was just curious. You and I get to talk a lot, but I don't always remember to ask you certain questions that I'm, you know, kind of interested in. You have somebody who's retiring after quite a long time. Aaron Smith, is that right?
Aaron Smith is the division manager at Public Works. Aaron's been at this 36 years. He and I started basically at the same time, and we started at about the same level at the bottom, running the shovel and mowing grass and doing all those sorts of things. But, you know, when I went back out to the road department in 2008 as kind of the director, and you don't know who's around you or what their temperament is, and I knew Aaron pretty well, but, I mean, we didn't work side by side together. But Aaron did step into the role of the division manager. And he and I and Art Mead and Tony Rez and Terry Gray at the time came together. And we, you know, we just bonded and we had each other's back. And Aaron's one of these folks that very sensible in his approach to decision-making, but a lot of history. And his career has made a huge impact here in Escambia County, especially in the northern half of the county. And so I appreciate him so much. He's been a good friend. He's been a good manager for me and good support for me. And what I've always appreciated about Aaron is I could ask him a question, he's going to tell me the truth. That's a stupid idea, or I don't agree with you, or what. I mean, and I appreciate people like that. I really do. But he always did it professionally. I always did it respectfully.
No, that's great.
But anyway, I wish him the best. Congratulations, Aaron Smith.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about is we biked over in Gulf Shores this last weekend. So I got actually the first time I had driven through the Perdido Key roundabout, and it's been a couple of years, I guess, since I've been out on the key. One thing, I thought the roundabout worked just fine. I mean, people are still not quite sure what to do with it, which is a problem, but I think they'll get used to it over time. I will say this, the traffic on Sorrento when I was leaving coming into or onto the key, this is like 3:30 in the afternoon, was insane. Now, that was a record-breaking day of traffic going over to Pensacola Beach. So, you know, there's a lot of people want to go to the beach, and there's only so many places and so much roads to get there. But what is the current plan for improving traffic flow and safety on Sorrento Road? I know that's been a largely discussed conversation, but I always feel like I didn't know it personally because I hadn't driven that recently. Where are we at with that?
Well, I think there's been a lot of discussion with FDOT, you know, that Sorrento was their roadway. And I know Commissioner Burgos has been heavily involved in those discussions.
Right.
And trying to move improvements up, the work plan there on Sorrento. And you're right, it does carry a lot of traffic. And, you know, it's a two-lane road. And I know some years back there was some talk of four-laning that road. And I don't know how that looks going forward. I don't believe it's anywhere in the immediate future, but it certainly is a heavily traveled road and something we will continue to work with FDOT to try to make as many improvements as we can possibly make out there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and sometimes it's just you just can't fit this many cars in that place in such a short period of time. I understand that concern as well. Last question, take this with a little bit of the tongue-in-cheek that it's intended, but is it official now that the state or that the Perdido Key zone, the official bird is the no parking sign on the side of Perdido Key Drive? Because there are so many. There are so many. It's like every 20 feet, it seems like.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there. You know, no parking signage is a big thing. We get requests throughout the year. And I understand why they're requested, but it can call. You know, if you don't do this no parking thing wisely and thoughtfully, and communicating with the folks in that area, you can create an uproar in about 30 minutes.
Yep.
And then it takes about a month to turn it all back down, you know? And so, no parking signs are, they are a thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I know parking out on the key is a challenge. I mean, for sure. But I kind of like, oh my God, I didn't know there were so many. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for spending some time with us every Thursday and keeping us informed about our county and for running things so effectively. I appreciate you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.